Sunday Girl is all about a girl called Jude who has a seriously embarrassing family. I'm going to read you a bit from chapter one, introducing Jude and her very dodgy relatives. Nobody likes parents' night, do they? It's when the truth comes out. Your parents discover that you haven't been wearing your nice maroon St. Joseph's blazer. You've only handed in one maths homework since September, and you're hanging out with a gang of scary year 10s who have love and hate scrawled across their knuckles in black marker pen. That's the kind of stuff most kids are stressing about anyhow. Not me. I have a pretty good record when it comes to tests, homework and school uniform. My friends are sensible, reliable, hard-working. My teachers like me. What do I have to be worried about? Where do you want me to start? I'm not worried that my family will find out the truth about school. More anxious that school will find out the truth about my family. Parents' night? I hate it so much that when I was in year 7, I threw away the letters inviting my family along and told them that St. Joseph's didn't do them. I couldn't get away with it forever, though, and this year they're here. All of them. Nightmare. I'm here too, watching the whole thing, fascinated, horrified. Being here is a kind of torture, obviously, but when Mr. McGrath asked for volunteers to make the tea and coffee, my hand shot up instantly like the good year 8 teacher pleaser that I am. It's a bit like the way moths get drawn to a flame. I can't help myself, even though I know it will end in disaster and frazzled wings. Still, dishing out the tea is one way to keep an eye on things. I take a deep breath, steady my tea tray, and stride off into the scrum, handing out a few cups of milky tea and some dark ominous flapjacks baked earlier today in the home ec department. I glide to a halt beside Miss Devlin's desk. Tea? I ask brightly. She shoots me a helpless, wild-eyed look, but I have no sympathy. So far, she's only met Mum. Worse is to come. Ah, Jude, Mum says, flicking her blonde razor-cut bob so we all get to see the dark red layer beneath. Miss Devlin was just telling me she runs the school drama club. Why ever didn't you tell her I was in show business? You're a hairdresser, Mum, I mumble. Now I am, Mum says, but what about my musical past? I've played all the top venues, Filey, Minehead, Clacton-on-Sea. She's talking about the weekly talent shows at various Butlins camps where she holidayed as a teenager, but she leaves out that little detail. Mum, I hiss, dumping a cup of tea down on the tabletop. I thought I'd better tell you that Dad and Victoria are here. They're in the queue behind you. They are, Mum squeaks. Nice chatting to you, Miss Devlin. I have to go now. Mum and Dad are no longer together. They haven't been for 12 years, but that doesn't stop Mum from turning all drama queen if she happens to spot Dad with his girlfriend. She stands up, flinging a pink pashmina scarf over her shoulder and almost taking out the eye of the woman behind. She stalks out of the hall without a backward glance. I swing back through the crowd, clutching my tea tray. I come across Gran and Grandad arguing with Mr. McGrath. Hello, dear, Gran says blankly as I edge past. Do you know you look just like my granddaughter? Perhaps because I am. I give her the last flapjack and hope it doesn't get stuck in her teeth. Back at the tea urn, Kevin Carter from my English class is sipping tea from a PTA bone china cup. He dunks the flapjack unsuccessfully. The tea turns into a beige soup. Hey, Jude, he says. Want a hand? No thanks, Carter. Keep it to yourself, I retort. Call me Kevin if you like, he grins. Okay, thanks, Carter. Suit yourself, he says. I'd be a good waiter, though. Careful, fast. He sticks out a leg and shows me a huge, clunky rollerblade boot, then does a fancy turn, slopping tea all over his jeans. I'm just learning, he says. Brendan Coyle is setting up a street hockey team. He points through the window where some year 8 lads are skating about in the floodlit playground, battering each other with hockey sticks. Nice, I say. Just look at that, Carter laughs, looking out across the hall. Who does he think he is? Elvis Presley? I glance up, alarmed. Dad and Victoria have reached the head of the line for Miss Devlin. Victoria looks neat in a dark city suit, but Dad is wearing a grey raincoat over his white rhinestone catsuit. He has a gig later, an 80th birthday party at some old folks' home, He smooths his black quiff and sideburns as he sits down. I should explain, Dad is an Elvis impersonator. This is not a fact I tell many people. I have no intention of telling Kevin Carter, obviously. Carter lets out a low whistle as Year 8 siren Christina Kowalski wiggles past. She's wearing something that might have once belonged to a Barbie doll but has now shrunk in the wash. Scary. Christina Kowalski is hot, Carter breathes, executing a perfect figure of eight on his rollerblades before crashing into the tea urn. Hot is not a word I'd use to describe Christina. She's wearing so little she may be in danger of frostbite. Just as I think Kevin Carter is safely distracted from my family, Gran and Grandad join the end of Miss Devlin's queue. Grandad is wearing his yellow tartan waistcoat with the Marilyn Monroe tie, and Gran is knitting as she waits. It's the green scarf today. At only 3 meters long, it is easily the most portable. Who are they? Carter gawps, following my gaze. Unreal. I wonder what poor kid has to put up with grandparents like that. My heart plummets. But at that moment, Mr. McGrath looms up, and I try to look busy, setting out clean cups and saucers on a new tray. Ah, Carter, good to see you helping out at this kind of function, Mr. McGrath beams. Now, Mrs. Yates was just saying she'd love a nice hot cup of tea. Perhaps you'd take one over to her. He lifts the loaded tray and hands it to Carter, nodding encouragement. Needless to say, he hasn't spotted the rollerblades. Carter takes the tray, throwing me an anxious grin. He glides off across the polished floor, the tea tray balanced on one hand. He makes amazingly good progress to start with at least, but disaster is inevitable. Suddenly he gets tangled up with the end of Gran's green scarf and falls headlong into the crowd, showering everyone with tea and flapjacks. Oh dear, says Mr. McGrath. He's not as bad as I thought, that Kevin Carter.